His mercies are new for your life every single day. Isn't that wonderful? Ooh, you should wear that one out. Hallelujah. So you may have messed up last week, and you wish you didn't, but His mercies are new every single day. God, that's called a do-over. God gives you a do-over every single day. It's my do-over cha-cha dance, okay? All right? I'm going to get better at that one. Okay, so what does it mean? It means that God's forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you every single day, because the blood of Jesus is faithful to give you a do-over every single day. So what are you doing beating yourself up, walking in condemnation? That's not any of us, right? Nah, don't do that. All right, so we get a do-over. And now it's not, my series is not just that you get a do-over, but hey, a do-over is good. A do-over from God every single day is good, but I want to add to this, okay? I'm going to put the fuel to this today, is that we don't just get a do-over from God, and that's it. That's like that Groundhog movie. What's that? Groundhog? Yeah, okay. He got a do-over. But that, if that's it, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Anybody, that's just not good enough. And what would happen if you had a do-over every single day, and it could be a greater life? Everybody say greater life. Okay, so God could give you a greater life in Him every day. Do-over, greater. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, it is amazing, and it's good. All right, so that's what we're going to talk about. So, those of you who weren't here, you got to go read Exodus. That'll be your homework. But in Exodus, we talked a lot about Moses. Everybody remember the guy Moses? All right? And God had, even though after he was born and where he was raised, God still had a great life for Moses. God had a greater life for Moses. God had plans for Moses. And listen, I believe, matter of fact, I know, I don't only believe, but I know that God has a greater life for everybody here today. And even on top of that, you get the do-over, but I believe that God has a greater life for everybody here. So if you have a great marriage, God has greater for you. If you have your finances and they're doing good, I want to tell you, God has greater for you. Woo! You should be like, ah, Pastor D! That's so cool! That's exciting! Man, you guys need greater then. Looking at these faces, dear Jesus, this is the message I knew I heard from God. Okay. Now, I believe God has greater for you. You all know John 10:10. Jesus says, I came that you might have life, and more abundantly. My one translation says, a greater life to fulfill. A greater life. Amen. All right. So, of course, you know I'm talking about greater life, so I'm going to pick that translation today, all right? So God said, Jesus said, I came that you could have a greater life. So if you didn't believe me, would you believe Jesus? He said, you can have a greater life. A greater life. Okay? Now, this is sort of a review. Last week we talked about, yes, you can have a greater life, but it's going to take some choices. You have to take some steps. God says, yes, you get a greater life, but he says, you have to take some steps, all right? Now, it doesn't happen by accident. You just didn't wake up one day and like, wow, look at my greater life. Do you know anybody? No. It took steps. A lot of times it took preparation to get to the greater life. All right, so this is just review. So yes, you get a do-over. Two, God has a greater life, but you have to take some steps. All right. Now, for example, if you have your life a little mumble jumble in your pocketbook, and you come on Sunday night at 6:30 because we're teaching God's finances, finances God's way, and you start taking steps by doing that, just because your finances are okay, you start taking steps, and you listen to Dave Siegel, who says you have to write down everything you spent for one whole month, and then you have to make Listen, God has a greater life. But you have to take some steps, right? Okay. You smile. Good, good. How many of you have been to here 6:30 on Sunday night? Good, good. You know I love that budget thing. Now listen, most of you think, oh, Pastor D, that's not exciting. Most Christians don't think what I said was exciting because they're like, God has blessings for me and he's going to pour out abundance on me and I know that he's going to help me get through all of this. But I'm going to spend what I don't have. No, you have to take steps. And yes, God has blessings and abundance and a greater for you, but you have to take steps, right? All right, so because you know what's going to be wonderful? The real wonderful is you have a greater life, and he has greater for your finances, and you're going to start taking some steps, and one day you're going to tell people, I want to tell you what God did through me, in me, for me, and out my hands, okay? God did this, all right, with me, for me, all right? So that's why, yes, I get a do-over. Yes, it's new every day. And yes, it's greater. And yes, I have to take some steps, right? Everybody say, yes, I have to take steps. Yes. Oh, you look so happy taking steps here. Okay, all right. So if you have you want a greater job, God says you can have greater, and your job is the pits. My boss is the pits. The pay is the pits. You might have to take some steps, okay? And not just bless God, shaking together, running over, God's going to just yank me out of there, right? Okay? You have to take some steps, okay? So write this down. This is the new part. We're on to new, finally. I worked on this. It just tickled me, so you better write this down, you hear? Come on, right on the back of the envelope, all right? Better yet, write on the ministry message cards because I want to get rid of them, and the visitor cards. You can write on them. Okay, because you know, I have a good conscience, I can't throw them out until they're gone. All right, so write this down. Number one, a greater life is not about you being greater. Ugh. Thank you, Mom. One amen. A greater life is not about you being greater. Some of you could say, I got that one, baby. I've done that one, all right? Number two, the greater life is you understanding that there's a great God. Write that down. You understanding there's a great God. That can, number three, if I'm going too fast, go, Pastor D. All right. Carol, I bet you could probably type that, throw that up. You want me to say that again? Yeah. All right. Number one, a greater life is not about you being greater. Give me the thumbs up if you got it. Okay, good, one thumb. Oh, you typing it or writing it?
I'm gonna type it, but he's writing
it for me. All right, Lefty Mark, here we go, up in the sound booth. Are lefties faster than righties?
Yeah.
Only lefties will say yes. Okay, number one, a greater life is not about you being greater. Number two, the greater life is you understanding there's a greater God. Okay. And that's where Pat and one other person said, oh yeah, I found that out. There is a greater God that can do great things through you. That's the understanding. There is a great God that can do great things through you. All right? That will cause you to live a greater life. All right? So it's not about you being great. It's about a great God that lives in you, that'll cause you to do great things in you and through you. That's a great life. That's a great life. That's a great life. Amen. All right. Now, number one for our notes today. What do you have to do? You have to put your faith in a great God. Oh, Pastor D, we sing that song in preschool, right, Danielle? God is great. God is great. Yeah, well, if you knew it, okay, right? Okay, you have to put your faith in God is great, all right? If you're going to have great things happen, you have to put your faith that God is great. God is good. God is great. God does unbelievable things. God is undefeatable. God is great. You have to put your faith in that. Amen. Okay, I catch myself. I'm going to be really honest with you. I catch myself when people say, Pastor D, would you pray for so-and-so? They have the big C. And I struggle for a second, and God says, well, who's the great one here? Get you back on track. You will never struggle in the things God tells you to do if you know he's great and he wants to do great things through you in your life. Amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Larry. Amen. Okay, so number one, we have to put faith in a great God. And if you put your faith in a God who's greater, you'll have a greater life. If you put your faith in a God who's greater, you're going to have a greater life. All right? Now, you're not going to have a greater life if you think God can't do it. You're not going to have a greater life if you think he can't do it. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, I've done that. There are times, and I'm going, oh, smack, bad. Okay. You're not going to have a greater life if you don't think God can do it. All right? So, again, this is where we kind of left off. Okay, I'm trying to catch up here. We left off last week talking about Moses, and God was going to put a dream. Matter of fact, God had already put a dream and a vision in Moses. But I want to talk not about Moses. I want to talk about you. God has, always does, put a dream and a vision in you. God puts things in your heart. God does. And you can't shake it like Moses. Moses couldn't shake it. Didn't mean if he jumped up and dressed like an Egyptian. He couldn't shake the thing God put in his heart. God's put things in your heart, right? All right? He's put things in your heart for you to do, and he wants you to do them. If God put something in your heart, Michelle, he wants you to do them. And you're going to need him to do them, right? Because I would have done them. All right, so God put things in your heart. But in order for them to come to pass, we have to understand that we have to start taking steps. So God put things in your heart. God's put visions in your heart, dreams in your heart. And I'm not talking about selling everything and moving to Africa. I don't like missions. It's painful, so it's not me. But there's little things. You think they're little, but if God put them in their heart, they're not little. They're God things, all right? I'm gonna make you dig in your heart. I want you to dig in your heart about the things God put in your heart, the visions and dreams, okay? And it's going to take some steps. Now, write this down, big truth. If God puts something in your heart, a vision in your heart, it always looks impossible. Always. I can't, God, because no way, God, I can't. I can tell you where I had that conversation with God on Route 30. It's amazing I could drive my car. I was crying and screaming, telling God, I can't. It's impossible. But look, he loves your impossibilities. God loves everything that he put in your heart that you say is impossible. Amen, Pastor D, that's exciting. All right. Okay, I can't try to read here. He likes your impossible situations. And if you're thinking, here goes, but God, you have not been home to my house to live in the impossible situation. Well, not to God. Okay. God, you don't know what I am. I'm not even knee deep. I am sinking. It's impossible. Well, not to God. Look at your neighbor and say, well, not to God. It's not impossible. Listen, guys, it's only impossible if you believe God can't. If you believe God's not a great God, that God's not a big God, it's impossible. But you're faith people, you're Bible people, you're word people, right? So you know God is great, God is big, and there's nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible. The only impossible is you quit. And I am not a quitter. I can't even look at some of you because I know you are not quitters, man. I know what's going on. You're not a quitter. Okay. So we serve a great God. And God is greater than all your circumstances. You just have to put your faith in a great God. Okay? Now, and he's going to bring you through. Back to my story of Moses. I am not lost. I'm on a trail. Look like I got off of it. Okay. Back to our story about Moses. One day, God called Moses to deliver his people. And Moses, along with Aaron, went and they answered the call to deliver the children to the land of promise. If you're taking notes, the land of promise. There's a big punchline in about 10 seconds. You'll get it. To the land of promise. Now, in 23 more days, it will be
Christmas.
No. Today's the 8th. You just want Christmas. It'll be a new year, 2014. We know you have Christmas on the brain. I do. Okay. Then serious. Around the corner in 23 more days is
New Year's.
New Year's. Okay. 2014. 2014 holds a land of promise for everybody. Because God does a do-over every single day. But listen, he has a land of promise. Turn over to Psalm 65. I'm going to give you a goodie. We're through with Lamentations there. Golly. Psalm 65, verse 11. Psalm 65, verse 11. God holds a land of promise. Promise. Promise for you. And some of you know exactly what it is. Listen, some of you know the promise. All right? Now, this is a cool scripture. You get to use it every year. Okay, Psalm 65, verse 11. You, it means God. God, you crown. God, you crown the year. We're going into 2014. God crowns 2014 with your goodness. Okay, if you are ever chilly, you need to get up here and do what I do. I'm sitting here sweating, and you guys are all bundled up. That's why I was like, freeze Mount Carol until I'm done. I have sweat. All right. I'm like, the God crowns. You can jump in the aisle anytime you want to. Okay? You can shout amen or something. All right. Good preaching, Pastor D. That's so incredible. All right. You, God, crowned the year 2014 with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. Yay, 2014, goodness, abundance, greatness. So you ought to be excited about 2014. Man, some of you are like, I can't wait to finish this one. Okay, now, the sad part is usually we think abundance is just money. Okay, change that word to abundance to greatness. How many of you like greatness in your family, in your relationships, in people? Okay, and in your wallet. All right, but okay, so praise God. Now, back to Moses. God calls him to bring the children of Israel out. And Moses does all these miracles in front of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's watching this incredible stuff. And every time he does this, every time God does these miracles through Moses, Pharaoh's heart gets harder and harder and harder and harder. I don't get it, but that's what happened. And then finally, God does this one last miracle, right? And Pharaoh says, you can go! Get out of here, right? All right? And Pharaoh lets the people leave Egypt. They'd been in bondage for 430 years, all you Bible exact dates. I'm pretty sure it's 430 years. And they were set free. 430 years, and they're set free. Wow, they're doing the cha-cha dance, I'm telling you. Okay, now, so they're leaving, and then they come to this place. Everybody look out the window, it's snowing, I prayed, hallelujah, okay. And Dave Siegel, I may not be here tonight, because you know what I want to do. Okay, yes, all right. All right, okay, get back to the story. So Pharaoh lets them go, and they're all marching out, all these millions of Jews. They're marching out, and they come to this place where they encounter water, all right? And God says to Moses, raise up your rod in your hand. Moses, raise up the rod in your hand. What does Moses do? Hands up, get some air, get some going here. Good. Raise up your hand, all right? Now, I don't know anybody that's been able to split water with a rod up in their hand. Did you ever try it in your bathtub? You tell me if it works, okay? Start there so you don't look like a fool in your neighborhood. Okay, listen, raise up your rod in your bathtub with it and it'll split. Okay, so only God can split the water. Listen. Only God can split the water. I just preached myself happy. Thank you, Jesus, I can do this. But God said to Moses, Moses, you take a step, raise up your rod, and I'll split the water. Got it. What are you guys? This is so exciting. Okay. All right, so Moses takes a step of faith. Moses puts his faith in a great God, greater than Pharaoh, who had them in bondage, greater than Pharaoh, who's hot on their tail, chasing them even out, and he raises up his stick, his rod, and God splits it, right? Oh, put your faith in a great God. Okay, then all of a sudden they're all on the other side, and they're like, oh my gosh, they're still after us. And what does God say? What does God say to Moses? That Moses has to put his faith in a great God who got him out of there. He said, put your rod down. And what happens? Water comes down, they're smashing, and they're delivered. All right. Moses had to take steps. There was greatness, guys. Prophesied. Read your, there's all these prophecies in the Old Testament. There was greatness coming. But Moses had to put his faith in a great God, a bigger God, bigger than the bad guy. All right? Isn't that fun? All right. Now, then one day, they're trucking around in the wilderness, and they go, ah, no water. Oh, what are we going to do? And God says to Moses, Moses, you take a step, you take your rod and strike it on the rock. Moses, now, anybody bang on rocks and get water gushing out of there? No, unless you're fracking, right? Is that where they do the fracking thing and they get water or gas out of there? Okay, back seriously, serious, okay. All right, got to be serious here. God says, just take your rod and strike the rock and I'll give you water. You know what it says? In other words, God says, you do something, you obey, you strike the rock, right? You strike the rock and I'll do my part. God's saying, I'll do my part, you do your part. You do your part, God will do his part, all right? And I'm glad I don't have to get water out of a rock. All I have to do is this. All right, all I have to do is obey. All I have to do is put my faith in a great God. All right, great God. Okay, Pastor D, how's this work in my life? I'm not going to go stand in my bathtub and do all this stuff, all right? Okay. If you're having, let's just say you're having problems in your marriage, and all you do is say, oh, honey, this marriage is down the toilet. We're having problems. I can't believe it's terrible. You need to take a step maybe and say, hey, I think we might need some counseling, instead of, you're the problem, you need counseling. That never worked with me, by the way. I said to Jack one time, I'm not one of your little counselees. Oh, I was so ugly back then, I'll tell you what. I am getting sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Amen. Okay, so how do you take a step of faith, putting your faith in the God who's greater? And you have to take steps. Who knows Gary Smalley? He wrote these two books. Hallelujah. What you want to know about him, and what do you want to know about her? I actually read both of them, okay? You might have to take some steps and read some material, all right? Take some steps if you want a greater, all right? How about Of course, you know, Pastor D, my finances are in a mess. Oh my gosh. I have 15 credit cards and they're all maxed out. Oh my God, help me. What am I going to do? Number one, put your faith that it is God's will to deliver you and bring you out. Number two, plastic surgery. Listen, nobody should have 15 credit cards, and if you have them maxed out, you are definitely not the one that should have 15 credit cards, okay? Cut them up. Where did I see somebody? I think it was on the internet or something like that. They froze them. They actually put them in a bucket of water and froze them, stuck them out in the freezer. But listen, I've been known to eat frozen cookies, so that wouldn't have worked. They taste delicious, those cookies frozen. I don't care. Okay, so you might have to begin to take steps. Cut up your credit cards and then start taking steps. Amen. I'll just leave it that. Okay. Now, let me give you an example. These are all, that was Old Testament examples. Those are my examples. Let me give you a Jesus example, okay? Jesus was in the wilderness preaching up a storm. Just preaching himself happy all day long. People went out and they got there. It's like coming to church at 9:30 to go downstairs and be in the Sunday school class where you're going to learn foundations of the Bible, okay? And you're there and you stay all day because the preaching's so good, and all night till 9:30 at night, and you realize, I'm starving. And somebody has this thought, oh my gosh, I'll go to Rutter's and see if I can get enough sub sandwiches to feed everybody, because we have 10,000 people that go to YCF. And they get there and they come back and there's not enough sandwiches. There's not enough bread. Jesus, what are we going to do? Oh my gosh. And somebody says, hey, Jesus, there's this little kid down in children's ministry and his mama packed him a lunch. Two fish, five rolls. Two fish, five rolls. Jesus says, that's okay. That's all I need. That's okay. That's all I need. I'm going to feed everybody. Right? And you know the rest of the story. He feeds, it says, 5,000 men. Now, where there are men, there are women. And where there are men and women, there are children. And there must have been, it says, anywhere between 7,000 and 10,000 people that really were there. Jesus feeds every one of them supernaturally with two fish, five rolls, or loaves, whatever you call it. Okay? So, now, how did that happen? You know what? Jesus had to take a step. He had to take something little, two fish, five loaves. He had to take steps to greatness because God did the miracles through him, okay? Now, God wants to take whatever small thing that's in your heart that you think is small, but it's not small because God put it in there, but in your eyes, I'll just say it, God wants to take whatever small thing he put in you to do, but he wants you to take some steps to get to that greatness, okay? Amen, Pastor D. All right, turn over to Hebrews 12. Everybody say greater. Greater. Keep turning now. See, I can drive and talk at the same time. My greatest car accident, so I get to practice talking and flipping through my Bible. You do too. Say greater. God wants you to take a step of faith in a greater God who can turn your little into something greater. Hebrews 12:1. Okay. Hebrews 12:1. Everybody say, I love greater. Man, I love greater. I got a list of greater going here. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Those witnesses are chapter 11. Read chapter 11. It goes through all these people, all right? Okay, so I'm going to... Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. How many of you know, you lay down the weight, you run faster, right? Bible basic D. Okay. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run. Go like this. Let us run, let us run. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author. Underline that word author. Or Arthur. Okay, author. Looking to Jesus, Who do we look to? Jesus, the author and the finisher, underline the word finisher, of our faith. Okay. So who do we look to? And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay. How many of you, the day you got born again, know that you received the measure of faith? I didn't have it. He authored the faith that you have. He began, he put it in you. Ah, you have God kind of faith on the inside of you. Thank you. Don't you feel like this now? All right. God authored faith in you. He's the author and the finisher. He's the author of what he's put inside of you. He put a measure of faith in you. He put faith in you. God authorized. I think that's what I do. Okay? Sometimes I just make myself laugh. Hallelujah. Okay, so he authored it. Guess what? He's going to finish it. God will finish it. He started it. He'll finish it. Now, do you know what he wants you to do with your faith? Feed it and exercise it. Feed your faith. That's all you have to do. You don't have to try. I have to try to get this. No, you just have to feed it. How do you feed it? Raise something in your hand. Show me. Thank you. Your Bible. Your Bible. By the way, you're at the feeding trough today. You feeding today? Are you feeding today? Okay, now, if this is what you think is going to make it through the end of the week, you're in trouble. I'm glad you came to feed the rest of those folks. You came to feed, but if this is what you think is going to carry you, you're in trouble. God wants you to feed your faith daily. Feed it daily. Feed it daily. Okay, what's our kid's song? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you shrink, shrink, shrink. Y'all don't know that song. Because if you feel like you're down on the ground, warning, warning, feed your faith. All right, feed your faith. It's through the Word. Everybody say, I'm feeding. Okay, I'm feeding. Now, I'm feeding. Now, why, besides Pastor D told you, and you don't want to sing the song, why do I want to feed my faith? Why do I want to read my Bible? Because in the Bible are these crazy, amazing stories of people who put their faith in a great big God. And when I read them, I'm going, shoot, I don't have to split the sea. Mine's not so bad. And I get stronger. So reading your Bible, putting your faith in as you read this, you go, wow, I have a great God who'll do great things for me so I can live this greater life. So this is really important, okay? Amen, Pastor D. We like feeding. We like feeding. Okay, now, trick question. I can't read my handwriting. What are you supposed to have? Okay, yeah, this is a goodie. I dream up these through the week, and I got to write this down and say this. Okay, what are you supposed to put your faith in? Yourself? No way! We already found out that didn't work! Okay, you don't put your faith in yourself. Whoosh, that makes my life easy. Listen, it makes it easy when I don't have to put my faith in me, because I already know me is limited. Except for if I put my faith in a God who's big and greater, I know I'll live a greater life. Amen. Okay, so review. We have a greater God, a great God, and we put our faith in him, all right, and we can live greater. Turn over to Matthew 14. Hallelujah. Everybody say greater. Greater. Man, a greater, greater. Matthew 14. Verses 20, we'll start at 22. If you want to win in this life, you have to have faith in God because he is greater. He's a great God who I put my faith in, and nothing he said will come to pass unless I put my faith in a great God. Nothing he said for you to do, which is impossible, will come to pass unless I put my faith in a great God. Okay, now, let's see how this works. Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples. Okay, he'd been preaching, and then he tells his disciples, get in the boat, and they get in the boat before him to go to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Rise up early, folks. But I'm not preaching on that. And then one evening, when evening had come, he came and he was alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves and the wind. Okay? Now, in the fourth watch, which is like 3 a.m. of the night, Jesus went walking to them on the sea, on the water. And when the disciples saw, Jesus walking on the sea, they were troubled and said aloud, a ghost! They cried out for fear. Now, if you saw somebody walking on the water at 3 a.m., you'd probably do the same thing, right? Because you are, no, you're so built up. All right, I know, I'd be screaming. You kidding me? I hear a creak some days and, oh my gosh, in Jesus' name. Okay, so verse 28, I want to get to verse 28. Let's see where I go. And when the disciples saw walking on the sea, they said it's a ghost, they fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, calm down, be of good cheer, don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water. Okay. Lord, if it's you, command me to come. Jesus is thinking, oh, are you one of those crazy folks? Those faith people? That just believe, oh my, this could get interesting. Can you hear me? Now, I know Jesus knows everything. He probably ought to do it, but think about that. And so Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus says one word, come. Taking notes, write that one word down. Come. So Peter went over the side and walked on the water by one word, come. Now, most of us are like, are you sure, Lord? You know how deep it is here? Lord, are you going to hold me up? I mean, I would have been talking till I was blue, making sure. Lord, bid me to come. Jesus said one word, come. Oh, my gosh. Now, how many people that you've read about in the Bible that have walked on water? Jesus, only Jesus, and only Peter. Okay, but here's this boat. How many people were sitting in this boat? The disciples, so whatever, and whoever came along. Okay, how many people believed, put their faith in a great God to do a big thing and stepped out of the boat? Only one. But, all right. How many people walked on the water? One. All right, now, no one else got out of that boat. No one else believed, put their faith in a great God. No one else did that. Are you good? Peter's the only guy. Now, how many would you agree that was pretty supernatural crazy? That's crazy! I heard a story of a pastor. He was just gotten born again. He wasn't a pastor then, and they had a swimming pool in the backyard, and, you know, get crazy after you read your Bible and you think you can do everything. So he decided he'd try it out. I was at this service, and I am on the floor laughing, going, well, I'm not that. At least I didn't try that. Okay. All right. Now, getting back. What did Jesus say to Peter? Come. Come. All right. Now, what promise has God given you? All right. That you need to step out of the boat and you need to start walking on the water. All right? Now, what promise? Now, listen, it's really interesting. Come was Jesus' only promise. Come. Come. Write that down. You have to look at that about five times. Come was Jesus' only promise. Right? And he could walk on the promise. Come was the only promise Jesus spoke to Peter, and he could walk on the promise. So, what has God promised you? to get out of your boat, to walk on the water. I have more than one word. Anybody have more than one word? You got a bunch of words, right? All right, now let me tell real big thought here. Usually when God gives you a word, put something in your heart, a vision, and he said, come, step out, and you step out, all hell breaks loose, right? All hell goes wild. The big cannons come out. Who was I talking to? Diane. I'd asked her to do some things, and she goes, oh, man, the cannons came out. I said, that's because you had a word, a promise, a vision, a dream, and you stepped out of the boat. So that's okay. And, you know, Peter had that problem. All of a sudden, the boat's, you know, everything's rocky and the winds, all right? Now, let's read on. Okay, I've got ahead of myself. Verse 30. But when he saw, he got out of the boat, he was starting to walk on the water, in verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! Now, how many of you have a dream and a vision in your heart, and you heard a word, and you climbed out of the boat, and you started walking, and you made a mess out of it, and started to sink? But listen, aren't you thankful that even he's faithful to grab you? God is faithful to love you, give you a do-over every single day, all right? I think he's more happier. That's not good English. He's happier when you at least get out. He'll help you. He'll grab you. And what was the first thing Jesus did? He stretched forth his hand. He grabbed him, all right? God loves you. So maybe you tried it, and it didn't work. That's all right. Get going again. All right, now, verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Shame, shame, shame. Now, usually that's what we think. Usually we think, oh, man, why? Usually we think that Jesus is thinking, oh, Peter, why don't you have enough faith, okay? Why didn't you have faith in me? No, 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 no. Don't go that road, okay? The only problem Peter had, he only had one problem. It wasn't about faith. He had one problem. He got his eyes off of Jesus. Anybody ever get your eyes off of Jesus? Yeah. All right. That's when I try fixing things. All right. The only problem Peter had was he got his eyes off of Jesus. All right. Okay, and actually what happened is he got his eyes off of the promise. He got his eyes off of the promise, which was come. And Jesus loves us, right? He loves us, no matter what. Okay, now I want to tell you something. If God has called you all to greatness, God has called everyone to greatness, and he's put plans and visions and dreams in your life, and if he's called you, and he said, come, I got news. You are able to go towards him. You are able. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. I can't. It's impossible. If he called you, if he gave you the promise, if he gave you the scripture, if he gave you the direction, you're able to go towards him. All right? You are. Yeah, you are. Everybody say, yeah, I am. Yeah, that's right, Pastor. Yeah, I am. Okay. All right. But if you take your eyes off, you're going to start sinking, so you have to put your faith in a big God who's greater than your circumstances. It always goes back that way. Put your faith in a big God that's greater than your circumstances, okay? And you start taking steps. Okay, so there's somebody, let me give some examples. Someone comes to me and says, oh, Pastor D, oh my gosh, my body, everything's breaking down. I got high blood pressure. I got high cholesterol. But, you know, I'm waiting for God to heal me. I'm not condemning. I am not talking down to people. Because I want to tell you, I visited a lady before she died that had everything wrong with her and those top two things. And I cried. I cried because I knew that was not God's will for her, and she died the next day. And I thought back of this many times, is she just needed to start taking some steps to change. Just the little things, like changing, get some information. Okay, and usually if you have symptoms of high blood pressure and high cholesterol, the doctor will tell you what to do, what to change. And she never took change. She never took those steps. And it made me so blessedly mad at the devil. I almost said something. Made me so mad at the devil. And my heart broke, okay? So good. Listen, guys, whatever you're in, God has steps for you to take, and he's going to rescue, get you out, okay? You got to get quiet and ask him, Lord, what do I do? Okay? Let me think. I don't know about you, but back in the day when I was growing up, I was eating healthy, especially if you grew up at my family. Mom fried this, eggs and bacon, veggies and bacon, butter and bacon, 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 bacon. I thought that was a healthy diet. And then I started getting older. I'm forever young. I am an eternal being. I am forever young. Okay? And I found out that I had to make steps to change how I did life. All right? And bacon is a specialty. It's a treat. And man, I love it. Love it when you cook and your clothes smell like it and your house smells like it. Okay. Okay. You have to make some steps. All right? And you have to make some steps. I was talking to a parent. And they're not here, so I can tell the story. I'll change the names, okay? And it's called Teen Explosion. It is not a conference you send your kids to. She was talking about Teen Explosion in her house. Pastor D, it's like an explosion. And I started getting some information from her, and I said, so-and-so, you need to make some changes in how you do the teen explosion. One, stop yelling! I think I'd walk around like this, okay? Mama, stop yelling. Two, and I actually had to do this in part a season of my life, and I told you this. My son drove me up a wall. Didn't like him. He didn't like me. Nothing was going good. We had teen explosions. Every day, fireworks. And the Lord said to me, what do you mean me? Go change you, him. No, God said to me, I want you to find something every day to say nice about him. Stop cursing him. He always does this. And I was like, God, he don't do nothing right. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And I told this story before. So I looked around. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I went up to him and I said, you are the only child that makes your bed every day that I do not have to ask. Thank you. He jumped on top of me and gave me a hug. And that was the beginning of change. God said, I had to make some steps in how I did it. One, I started to pray. Two, I joined Moms in Touch prayer group. Man, we just prayed for kids. And I'll just slide this one in. I was thinking of later. Pray in the Holy Spirit. It will build yourself up so you're not acting like crazy lady in the teen explosion. All right? So there's always circumstances and situations that you think are impossible, but God says there's nothing impossible if you put your faith in a God who's greater and bigger. All right? Amen. Good preaching. Wonderful story. Thank you, Dee. All right. So, what has God put in your heart? We're going to close. What has God put in your heart? What has he promised you? What steps are you taking? Because we're coming to 2014, a land of promise. What has God put in your heart? Now, could you get quiet this week? Get quiet and ask those questions. God, what have you put in my heart? What have you promised me? All right? And then start asking, am I taking a step? Did I quit? I got caught quitting. Did I quit and stop putting my faith in a great God? Instead of, I was putting my faith in me. All right, ask those things, all right? All right, amen, amen. I don't know how to finish up here, all right? Okay, I'm going to do one more. Hebrews 11:11, you just write it down, I'll tell you the story real quick. It's about Sarah. Sarah was this lady in the story, and Sarah's husband was Abraham. And it says, Sarah put her faith in who? In a God who is greater. And she judged him to be faithful to the promise. Sarah, for a while there, did not put her faith in a God for the promise. The promise was Isaac, this son. Matter of fact, one day she laughed at him. You got to be kidding. Did you see this body? Did you look at Abraham? Man, he's 99. I'm only 90. This is not going to happen. She did not for a season. Anybody been in a season where she didn't put her faith in a great God who is greater? But she did. She eventually did. And what happened is she remembered. She judged God to be faithful. How do you judge God to be faithful? You start remembering. All the times God bailed you out. All the times God gave the rescue. All the times you go, wow, look at that. That's amazing. And I bet you she did. Remember the first time she was married to Abraham and God says, leave the Ur of Chaldees to a land that you don't even know where you're going. And he became the wealthiest man. She started doing the rewind of all the times God was bigger and greater. All right? So, folks, if you're off track, you quit. Okay? Just let's get to a place where we go, 2014, Lord, I want my direction in the right path of greatness. And I will make changes for a greater life because, God, you've got great things for me to do. Amen. All right, just close your eyes for a second here because, you know, I have to end in prayer because I got to keep talking, get my last word in here. No, seriously. Father, I thank you that these are your great people. I thank you that everybody here, Father, is amazing and great in your eyes. And I pray that the eyes of their understanding be open, that they would see how great you are, that you live in them, and the greatness in you they'll walk in. And Father, I thank you that every day is a new day. The past is forgotten, forgiven, Father, and they're going into a new year. Matter of fact, Lord, I declare that it starts today a greater life for everybody here in Jesus' name because they ventured out in the snow. Amen. All right, I love you. Hallelujah. You are great. God is great. We thank him for the food. No, have a great evening. Come back here at 6:30. We've got a great lesson tonight. We've got great youth downstairs tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Go be great on somebody. Amen. Amen. You got some announcement quick? Okay, you need to pray in the Holy Ghost when you drive. How many of you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit before you venture out of here? Because you are going to be praying in the Holy Spirit. Take it easy. Amen. Or go see Jim Cashman and buy a Jeep. Yay.